This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
So let me make sure I understand this. So Lisa Herbold, she's the grandma with the nose ring. Cool. Edgy. So she supports heroin death sites, but she doesn't want it in West Seattle, her district.
She said it would be inappropriate in that location.
Why is it? What would make it appropriate in other districts in the city? So it's okay in Ballard. It's okay in Laurelhurst. It's okay in anywhere else, but just not in her. Let me play this. I got to hear this again. Hold on, Lisa.
Do you do support?
I support safe injection sites.
Do you support a safe injection site in District 1?
No, this would not be the right place for safe injection
sites. So yes, but not in District 1.
Correct.
She wants a heroin death site, but not in her neighborhood. Well, if it's not good for West Seattle, Lisa, it's probably not good for Lake City or White Center or Belltown, or wherever you want people to inject poison into their veins under the government's watchful eye. That's bizarre. That's bizarre. How would you not want it in your neighborhood if you think it's good policy? Are there no heroin addicts in West Seattle? Is there no drug problem there? It's crazy. You know what else is crazy? In the NCAA tournament right now, Virginia is number one seed. Last year, Virginia lost in the first round to a 16 seed. That had never happened in the history of the NCAA tournament. Virginia is playing in the first round right now. It's halftime, and they are losing to Gardner Webb. Oh. 36-30. I mean, if they lose...
Why do they get number one seed again after...
They had a great season. They had a fantastic season.
Well, they're choking in the March... this is not March Madness. Is March Madness.
This is March Madness.
Okay, yeah. So they're choking in the tournament again.
And they're playing Gardner Webb, which sounds like they only have two guys. It's a 2-on-5 game, and they're still losing. Gardner and Webb are beating them 36-30.
Okay, that's still close.
Yeah, they'll probably pull it out, but that's
well, amazing. How does that work for your bracket?
Well, it screws me up because I had Virginia losing to Duke in the championship game. So I'm messed up if they get knocked out.
Wow, after they blew it last year, you still pick them going to the championship.
Their coach is one of the great people in all of sports. Tony Bennett, his dad, Dick, was the Cougar basketball coach. When Washington State had a little resurgence under him. And in fact, his dad, he was a defensive genius. I had his dad's DVDs and learned a lot about defense from Tony Bennett's dad. And now Tony Bennett, he's in the same mold, a defensive genius coach. But this is the kind of guy you want to send your kids off to a university and have somebody shaping their lives. Tony Bennett is just such a strong Christian man. After they lost last year, it was one of the most beautiful post-game. Would you see if you can find that from about this time of the year last
year? Was it an example of how to lose?
It was unbelievable. Yeah. I'll see if I'm sure we played it on the show. So, but here was Tony Bennett yesterday, the day before their first game, talking about hardship and talking about that. And just listen to this man, because this is who you want helping to shape and mold young people.
You certainly feel things bother you, but where does peace and perspective come from? And I always tell our guys, it's got to be something that is unconditional. And I know I have that in the love of my family. Unconditional acceptance and love. That's huge. And I know I have that in my faith in Christ. That's, for me, where I draw my strength from my peace, my steadiness in the midst of things. But of course you feel things. Of course you desperately want things to go well, and it's frustrating when you're not. And you step back and look at it. But I think I always challenge our guys, what's your secret of contentment? What's your secret of contentment? Because there's going to be times it talks about you're going to be well-fed and living in plenty, and there's going to be times where you're going to be starving and living in want. What's your secret of handling that? And that I know without a doubt, those of us who have parents or kids that love you, give them unconditionally, or if your faith is there, that has to buoy you, and that has to be your center. And you dwell on what is good, because there is a bigger picture to all this, and I believe I understand that. So, you know, going through those refining moments, whew, they're tough, but you look back on them in a way, they're sometimes painful gifts that draw you nearer to what truly matters. And I think that would be the best way I could respond to that.
He has a beautiful way of speaking.
He's a great man. And yes, we just found, this is him last year after they lost for the first time ever, that a one seed lost to a 16 seed. And here he was after that game a year ago.
We got our butts whipped. That was not even close. And that's first a credit to the job Ryan did, Coach Odom. Their offense was very hard to guard. They shot it well. We kept getting broken down and did a poor job. And, you know, I told our guys, we had a historic season in terms of most wins in the ACC. A week ago, we're cutting down the nets and the confetti's falling. And then we make history by being the first one seed to lose. I'm sure a lot of people will be happy about that, and it stings. But trying to tell the guys in there, you know, this is life. It can't define you. You enjoyed the good times, and you got to be able to take the bad times. When you step into the arena, and a lot of people don't understand that, when you step into the arena and you're in the arena, the consequences can be historic losses, tough losses, great wins, and you have to deal with it. And that's the job. But we got thoroughly outplayed. Did not play well. We had a hard time with their mobile fours and their four guards. And I don't know what to say, but that was a thorough butt whipping.
What a man. That's just as good a person as you'll ever hear.
I love that he just owned it and said, you know, there's no excuses.
Yeah.
And he wasn't necessarily grumpy about it, like some NFL coaches that we know of.
Yeah, no.
But I wonder, what does he say to
out there?
Does he say it that way to his players as well?
Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. He's.
You know, there's another big upset just happened.
13-4.
So it's, I think a lot of people's brackets probably kind of getting messed up right now.
Let me Kansas.
Okay, in case anyone, a lot of people don't record and then watch later, right?
We're about to give you a score.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to. I was going to not pay attention at work today.
No, and then
and
you
just go home.
You practically.
Yeah. Yeah. Cal Irvine beat Kansas State, a 13-4 today. So that busted a couple of brackets, too. Cal Irvine, I believe, check me on this. I believe they're the Anteaters.
They are.
Oh, they are? You know that?
Anteaters, uh-huh.
Well, okay, we got other stuff. So, yeah, but Virginia could lose again. They're down 6 at halftime. And, man, if there's anybody I want to see succeed, it's this man, Tony Bennett, because he's somebody I admire so much. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, do we have a copy, Nicole, on the squirrel story?
No, it doesn't come with coffee.
Oh, it doesn't?
Okay. It just was a video.
Okay.
It's self-explanatory.
Okay. You want to hear a squirrel story?
It's funny.
Okay. Okay.
This may make an appearance later in the show, even though it's awesome audio of the week.
Robbie Armstrong's security camera caught the Saturday sneak attack.
The squirrel ran behind me and jumped on my side, went down my shoulder, and got on my elbow and just chomped on me.
The attack lasted only seconds, but the little guy did a number on Robbie's arm and elbow.
It just clawed me up all over here and bit me here and here. His teeth, that's where he came up here and bit me there, and I just grabbed him and threw him on the ground.
There are plenty of squirrels and other wildlife living in this rural part of Sarasota County, but Robbie's attacker is different. A neighbor nursed the squirrel to health as a baby.
And it was good with their kids, but it just attacked the mom over there and the husband.
So they let it go.
Yeah.
Recently, the same squirrel that got him scratched his stepson. Robbie recognizes him when he sees him.
This squirrel doesn't have much hair on its tail because the six-year-old next door trimmed the hair on his tail and put it on her Barbie's head.
He's named him Ada after his race car and truck.
That's my favorite part.
No wonder the squirrel hates humans. Cutting its tail to put on a doll head.
Straight out of Toy Story. Right, the out, evil out. Kid, Sid.
That's all we need to hear of that, right? Is there anything better at the end?
Well, no, but when's the lawsuit coming?
I don't know. Well, those thing about squirrels. Oh, darn. I
mean,
love
they're
squirrels.
Cute.
Oh, they're cute when their hair is dry. Because I have a squirrel feeder. Mm. And I put those dried corn cobs on a screw, and it's got a little bell on it. And the squirrels are so acrobatic. So I put it kind of just out of reach. So they'll hang with one hand, and they'll grab the line with the other and pull it up to them to get the corn cobs. I love watching squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also told the story about when I I killed the squirrel one time, and I drowned it.
Okay, no more.
And when it came out of the downspout with the hair all wet, it's they're rats. There's no physical distinction between a squirrel and a rat.
I'm just going to say, in support of the squirrel, most people don't look that good, just all wet.
That's a great defense of the squirrel. I'm glad you did that. Okay, the president, I was talking last hour about how, you know, we rolled ISIS out of Syria. And 71% of Americans feel good about the economy. The two things that are most important by those measures, Donald Trump's a great president. And I know that that makes people's ears hurt when I say it. But I don't understand. I cannot understand this whole John McCain thing. And yesterday he was on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. And she brought it up, and his defense of his McCain attacks, it's just bizarre to me.
We would have had great health care.
But, Mr. President, he's dead. He can't punch back. I know you punch back,
no,
but he's dead.
I don't talk about it. People ask me the question. I didn't bring this up. You just brought it up. You asked the question.
Well, you talked about it this week.
You asked me the question. When I went out yesterday to the scrum, they asked me the question. When they asked me the question, I answered the question. But you people bring it up. I don't bring it up. I'm not a fan. It was horrible what he did with repeal and replace. It was what he did to the Republican Party and to the nation and to sick people that could have had great health care was not good. So I'm not a fan of John McCain, and that's fine.
Do you feel a responsibility as president to bring the nation together?
I do, and I think I am in a certain way bringing it together. I can tell you that a big portion of this nation is united like it's never been united before. You look at our economy, you look at jobs, you look at African American, the lowest in the history of our country, unemployment numbers, the best numbers they've ever had.
But that's what I'm saying.
Hispanic, you look at Asian, you look at women, the best in 65 years, best numbers in 65 years. I think I am bringing it together. I think I'm bringing it together.
Not by talking about John McCain.
I just said, you brought up a question, Maria. I didn't bring it up. I didn't mention John McCain until you asked me a question about John McCain. Now, I could say I have no comment, but that's not me. But you shouldn't have brought it up. Actually, I thought you weren't supposed to bring it up, but that's okay. You know, fake news every once in a while.
It's not fake news. You just told me why you have an issue with him.
A very serious issue. He handed something to the FBI on me. He knew it was a fake. He handed it to the FBI. That's an issue.
And now we're going to get
repeal and replace of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. He campaigned for years. That's an issue. But I didn't bring it up, Maria. You did.
So Maria Bartiromo's fake news now. But have the press been asking?
I mean, in one case, he was speaking before. It was like at some factory, and he just brought it up. It wasn't even, you know, he's choosing to bring it up sometimes. And then once he makes these inflammatory statements, then he's being asked about it again.
You know who else brings up John McCain a lot?
Who?
Meghan McCain.
It is her dad.
I know. As she points out, somebody put together a montage. These are all unique sound cuts from different shows.
My father.
That's 13 seconds. I have 25 seconds more.
But how else would she describe him?
My father.
Sorry, that's lame. He comes up a lot during the View. That's all
sure,
of her
because
the
she's responding. You know, he's dead. He can't defend himself.
My father's my father. 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 My father's my father. My father. My father.
I have 10 more seconds.
I want her to say dad at some point.
Daddy. Okay. Next up in the fastest 15. So one of the big issues on the campaign trail is many Democrat aspirants, they have now moved on to reparations. They are supporting reparations for African Americans, and man, that's becoming a real campaign issue.
Some 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls are putting a new spin on an old idea, whether to pay direct descendants of slaves.
I've long believed that this country should address the original sin of slavery, including by looking at reparations.
I think that we have got to address that, again, it's back to the inequities.
I absolutely believe that we need to have some kind of accounting for the persistent racial inequities today.
I believe it's time to start the national, full-blown conversation about reparations in this country.
So that's becoming, and which just sounds like buying votes to me. But when Elizabeth Warren, when she brings up reparations, Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, man, when you've lost Trevor Noah, if you're a Democrat, that's bad.
Wow, that is really great to hear. Although, I have my eye on you, Elizabeth Warren. I feel like as soon as reparations are passed, she'll be like, there's something I didn't tell you about my ancestry results. I'm also 1/20th black. Who knew? I accept cash, check, or Apple Pay.
And all that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast stories, fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to a girl. She's a junior at Edmonds Woodway, and she is facing the fight of her life. And you're going to hear her story. Coming up next, here on the Dory Monson. Well, a few days ago, one of my listeners let me know about a young woman who goes to Edmonds Woodway High School and is dealing with some real challenges right now. And she is in the studio with me. Her name is Emily Hood. Emily, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
What year are you at EW?
I'm a junior this year.
A proud warrior, huh? Yeah. So you're a wrestler there?
Yes, I am.
Tell me about that. How did you get involved in wrestling?
Well, it started as a joke, kind of, because I was hanging out with one of my friends, and she wrestled, and I met all the wrestlers, and they were really nice, and they're like, oh, Emily, you should join. And so I went to my mom. I was like, hey, can I join wrestling? As like a half joke, and then she was like, oh, yeah, totally. I'll text the coach right now, because he's one of our family friends.
Okay.
And then I joined wrestling.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, wrestling, is it co-ed? Do you compete against boys, or are there enough girls that you just have a girls' division?
Well, there is a girls' division, but me and my sister actually have had the opportunity to wrestle boys once or twice this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a family thing. You have siblings who wrestle also?
Yeah.
And do they
three of my other siblings. So.
Boys and girls?
Two boys and two girls have wrestled.
Okay.
The second.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. So that's a great accomplishment because that's a tough sport. I told you I coached girls basketball, but I would watch the wrestlers and that's a pretty grueling sport.
Yeah.
what did you like about it?
I don't know. I just like it.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. And then you got some real challenging news. I know. So tell me about that. Tell me about the medical diagnosis you got.
Well, I thought I had a concussion, but I went to a neurologist and had an MRI done, and it turned out it wasn't a concussion and like a brain tumor on my brainstem.
Yeah.
That affects my balance and stuff and coordination. So.
And I was doing a little research on this particular kind of tumor. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, there's only about 350 cases a year.
Okay. And so it's very rare.
Yeah, I don't know how many of
them. Yeah. And do you know the prognosis? What the future of when you have this type of tumor?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of still in research.
Yeah. So. And because it's so rare, they just don't have enough data to go by, it sounds like.
And it mostly happens in children. So.
Yeah. And so and I was reading about your story. You have a strong faith in God, it sounds like.
Yeah, I do.
Have you had any conversations with God about this? And you know, they had the why me?
Not really why me, but like I just feel him. Like he was there when we got diagnosed.
Yeah.
And he's just here. I can feel him.
Yeah. And that's got to be an incredibly important bit of strength as you deal with something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does it impact you? I see you have an eye patch on today. How does this impact you?
Well, my right eye's just turned in a little bit, a lot, actually.
Okay.
So, like, my eyes work fine. They just don't work together.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And then I'm a little wobbly.
Okay.
And I can't really feel half of my face. My right side of my face is paralyzed, I think.
Yeah.
But other than that, really, I feel normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like I have a brain tumor, if that makes sense, because I've kind of been wobbly since, like, November.
Okay.
So it kind of just has become normal for me.
Well, yeah, when anybody has to deal with that, our only reference point is our own life, and we never know how we're going to deal with adversity. So you sound like a real strong kid.
Yeah. Also, wrestling has given me like a mental toughness that is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds like you have a real good, you know, not only your family, your parents, your siblings, but sounds like you have a nice extended family there at Edmonds Woodway.
Yeah, not just at Edmonds Woodway. I have family in Maryland and friends everywhere. Maryland, France, Hawaii, Japan, Minnesota, Michigan, California, Oregon.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, really all over the place.
Yeah. I was reading the comments on your GoFundMe, and one mom mentioned that her daughter's real shy and that you were the kid who came up to her daughter at the beginning of the school year and just chatted with her, made her feel special. I mean, it sounds like you are somebody who makes people feel really good.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize I did that until I read the comments on the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
That's very cool. Yeah, I mean, you have a great personality. Yeah. And so as you battle through this, because you said that you first showed symptoms in November?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when I think I started showing symptoms.
Yeah.
Because really, with this kind of tumor, you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
There's not really a way to tell that you have something wrong with you.
Yep.
Until you really show symptoms. So.
And so things progress, and I mean, I know that, yeah, it's got to be tough to when you're an athlete and you're physical, and when things start to progress like that. That has to be a real tough thing to deal with.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, during wrestling matches, just, like, the world would be spinning, kind of, you know? Like, it felt like I just spun 10 times and then tried to wrestle a match.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was tough to wrestle matches and, like, wrestle practice at practice.
Yeah.
Right? But...
But you still were wrestling and competing after the diagnosis?
Not after the diagnosis.
Oh, okay.
But before the diagnosis.
Okay. So how long between when you started feeling goofy and the diagnosis? How long was that? A couple months?
I think about, I don't know.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah.
Like three months.
3 months.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's really a pleasure meeting you. Tell me about the GoFundMe that's been set up.
I actually haven't even really seen that much of it. My mom's best friend and then my mom's sister, my aunt, sorry, they kind of set it up and made it for me.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been as involved in it, but I really, really, really appreciate all the people that have donated to it.
Well, and I mean, that's a sign that you've touched a lot of people along the way. And like I said, the comments... Man, you're loved.
Yeah.
You are really loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool. Well, we're going to link up the GoFundMe. Do you know what the address is for the GoFundMe?
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to link it up. I got it somewhere here, and I'm going to link it up on our website if anybody wants to help you. And the tumor you have, it's called DIPG.
Yes.
You know what that stands for?
I know G stands for glioma, but I don't know.
Okay. And I've had one of my daughter's close friends had to battle a brain tumor, and I know the challenges for the family and for you especially, and I really admire your strength. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in, Emily. It's really a pleasure meeting you, and we'll send people to the GoFundMe on our website, and I wish you all the best and all the strength in the weeks and months ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Emily Hood, she is a junior at Edmonds Woodway, and you can always weigh in on all of this if you go to the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. When is it time to get out of a career? I've thought about that. When have I overstayed my welcome on the radio here? You know, when's it all going to be over? And the thing is, I'm still so fired up to do this job and to do this show. I love it. I love what I do. And that has not diminished one second in the 24 years that I've been doing the show. In fact, I mean, I was so excited to get this show in the first place. But I think I'm even more fired up today than I was when I was, you know, 33-year-old getting this opportunity. And the reason I bring this up is David Letterman was somebody that I idolized when he started his NBC late night show and, you know, it's mid-80s. I would watch it or record it on the VCR every single night. I never missed it. And it's amazing, as much as I loved Letterman and his show, how much I couldn't stand it the last 5-10 years. Because he just seemed disinterested, didn't put any effort into it, didn't do the bits. I mean, he did these bits that Leno would rip off. Leno called it jaywalking, but Letterman would do that, go out into neighborhoods, go out into the city, and he just stopped doing all those things because he just wasn't trying. And he admits it now. He just did an interview with Ellen, and he said that he should have quit 10 years before he did because of that.
Here's the mistake I made. I stayed on television way too long.
That's not true.
Yes, it is true. And I'll tell you what happened. It turns out nobody had the guts to fire me. And I should have left like 10 years ago. You want to make sure you have some energy to direct toward other things. Now, you, nothing but energy, are doing other things while you're on television. So that's great. I did not. All I cared about was myself. And then the show was gone, and so I had to realize, oh, I've been looking through the wrong end of the telescope. Mm-hmm. There is more to life than, so tell me about your pet beaver.
Yes. Who was that guest?
Martha Stewart.
Okay.
So he pretty much admits that. One other person I wanted to introduce you to. The finest athletes, if you were going to pick one sport, pretty tough to beat pole vaulters as all-around athletes, because you have to have sprinter speed, you have to have upper body strength, and that's why I wanted to introduce you to Flo Fillion. She is competing in the pole vault at the World Masters Athletic Championships in Poland this week. She's 84 years old.
It's challenging. You really have to work at that. You have to have the upper core. You have to have timing. I just love it because it's challenging. It'd be the long jump, triple jump, the pole vault, 60-meter run, 60-meter hurdles, 800-meter run, pentathlon, which is five events in one day. That's really, really tough. And then I'm going to be in a 4x200 relay. Okay. I think I'm naming them all.
Okay. 84 years old. And I was watching a video of her pole vaulting, and it's unbelievable. I've never tried that in my life, but I recognize how incredibly difficult it is. In fact, I remember when I was a little kid, the best pole vaulter in the world, I think I remember his name. I think it was Bob Segrin. And they used to do this show called Superstars on ABC, where they would take people from different sports and they would compete in, 100-meter dash and bowling and, just all kinds of different events, swimming. And Bob Segrin, he won that, I think it was the first year that it was on, because to be a pole vaulter, you have to be pretty all-around great. And then I got to meet him when I was about 11 years old. I had a friend whose dad worked at Como, and they had a professional track tour for a while. And they were at the Seattle Center Coliseum, and we were able to get floor passes. And I was just hanging out talking to Bob Segrin, this guy that I'd been watching on Superstars. And he was the nicest fella. Couldn't have been, just right in between jumps, he'd just chat us up. It's very, very cool. But 84 years old, that's a person to emulate right there, that Flo Fillion. Big lead at two, it's coming up next.